If you will join me in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for this day that you have made, and we ask that even now you would be preparing our hearts to encounter you, that you would give us a new clarity, a new vision for who you are and all that you've done and all that you continue to do even now. Lord, give us new ears that we might hear you speaking to us even today. We pray these things in the strong name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. I want to begin this morning by telling you about a river. It's a river called the Platte River. The river is found mostly in Nebraska. It is a tributary of the Missouri River, which in turn is a tributary of the Mississippi River, which of course flows into the Gulf of Mexico. But what makes the Platte River interesting and relevant for our sermon is that it is very, very, very wide and very, very, very shallow. So much so, you can't even get a canoe through much of it. It's filled with islands, sandbars. I was told after the first service, quicksand, mud, and swampy just bottom. That is what this river is. During the pioneer days, people used to joke that it's too thick to drink and too thin to plow. Others said it was a mile wide at the mouth, but only 6 inches deep. I wonder, with 8 days before Christmas, how many of our lives feel a little bit too much like the Platte River? Like our lives have become a mile wide and an inch deep. Like our lives are just stretched too thin. Like our lives have become shallow. Like we only live on the surface. Like we've lost out on our depth. Stephen Pressfield sums this up in a different way. He says, the disease of our times is that we live on the surface. In other words, we have become a people who simply live in the shallows and we've lost our depth. We fill our lives with so much noise that we've lost our ability to discern. We have so many options that are going in so many different directions that we've lost any sense of direction, of vision. We stay so busy that we've lost any sense of what's actually, truly important. And of course, this is only more true during this season. Because on top of all the normal daily and weekly and monthly activities that need to get done, we then add a whole host of other things on top of that, and we justify them simply as the holidays. We blame it on the season. Buying presents, writing cards, decorating the house, going to parties, visiting families, and so much more. And all of these can be very good things. But in our overfilled lives, sometimes they also just feel like more things. To make matters worse, this busyness and shallowness and noise takes away our clarity. Take away our perspective. Take away our depth. Worse still, if we're honest with ourselves, we know that it's not just this time of year. This season just makes it more palpable. But it's all the time these days. Because our lives are constantly being bombarded with more things to do and more things to watch and more things to listen to. And the more we try and focus on everything, the less we're actually able to focus on anything. The more noise there is in our lives, the less we're able to attend to the things that actually have value in our lives. The more stimuli we allow in, the more addicted we become to always needing something new to feed us. Or as the Nobel-winning economist Herbert Simons warned in 1977, what information consumes is the attention of its recipients. Hence, a wealth of information creates a poverty of attention. I'll read that last bit again. A wealth of information creates a poverty of attention. And so we feel less stable. We seem less clear. We become less in control because we lack clarity and we lack depth and we lack perspective. Of course, that's not to say that those things are just easy to go get. They absolutely take time and work and effort. They absolutely take the discipline to say no to so many other things. They absolutely take showing up and when you'd rather not. They absolutely take conviction and courage and commitment. So the question that I want us looking at today is, how do we regain depth in our lives? How do we regain perspective in our lives? How do we regain clarity in our lives when it's already filled with noise and busyness and chaos and shallowness? Or maybe you could get at this from kind of a more positive side. How valuable these days is clarity? How much is that something of worth? Knowing what to do and when. Knowing where to go and why. Knowing who to be and how. Because life just seems so unclear these days, so unstable, so crowded, so filled. How much do we actually truly value clarity? Of course, it's only getting harder. Harder to know who to listen to when everyone's just shouting all the time. Harder to know who to believe when everyone's convinced they're only right. Harder to cut through all the noise when everyone's simply trying to always get your attention. How do you navigate the multitude of voices? How do you know what's fake and what's real? How do you know who to believe? Or are our lives simply based on whatever it is we feel at the time, our gut? That's how I know I'm right. Is that enough? Wouldn't it be great to have some clarity? The ability to see through all of that and still navigate the confusion. To have depth to then go where you need to go. That's what I want us to look at today, this idea of clarity. As we think about that, I want to first catch you up on our sermon series thus far. All year long, we've been studying the Holy Spirit. And so it's no surprise that during this Advent season, we're again looking for the Holy Spirit. This time, though, of course, in the Christmas story. And what we found already and what we will continue to find is the Holy Spirit is an essential character all throughout the Christmas story. He is everywhere, even though he never plays a part in any pageants and never makes an appearance in any nativity scenes. Of course, maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's what's missing in this holiday season is the fact that the Holy Spirit isn't in any of our accounts of the Christmas story. It also explains maybe why some of our Christmases have become a little bit stale, have lost a little bit of life, have grown a little bit ordinary. Because as we've been studying all year long, it's the Holy Spirit who puts life and focus and presence and fire and power into not just the Christmas story, but our lives as well. Maybe if we could put the Holy Spirit back in his rightful spot in the Christmas story and put the Holy Spirit back in his rightful spot in our lives, maybe that would change our experience of this season. 2 weeks ago, we began the Christmas story with an angel, Gabriel, appearing to a priest named Zechariah. And among other things, Gabriel told him that he and his wife, Elizabeth, would soon have a son. They would name him John, and he would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he would be given the task to prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. Last week, we saw how Mary was faithful, and Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit as well. Today, someone else will be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I would invite you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 39. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 39. As we continue the story, again, I want you to be on the lookout for the Holy Spirit. Luke 1, 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Amen. So right off the bat, again, there's the Holy Spirit showing up in our Christmas story. This time he's filling Elizabeth. Mary goes to visit her relative, and when Mary arrives, something happens inside of Elizabeth. Her baby, John, leaps inside of her, and Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth then explains, "Blessed is Mary. Blessed is the child you will bear, and even I myself am blessed because you're here, because of this visit." And in some ways, that's the end of our passage until next week. In some ways, it's not a very complex story. In some ways, there's really not all that much going on in our passage. But therefore, in light of our series, here's my question. Why does Elizabeth need to be filled with the Holy Spirit in the first place? Why does she need the Holy Spirit at all? What does the Holy Spirit enable her to do? Why does it say that? Why does it say, "And then Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit"? Is that necessary? I mean, at first glance, Elizabeth doesn't seem to need the Holy Spirit for anything she does in this story. John leaps in her womb, but that happens before the Holy Spirit shows up in her. Plus, presumably, he already has the Holy Spirit in him, because that's what we talked about 2 weeks ago. What's more, Elizabeth doesn't seem to say anything that requires all that much of a supernatural revelation. So again, why does the Holy Spirit need to fill her up? Now, you can make an argument for symmetry or completeness. I mean, by the end of this, we're going to see that the Holy Spirit fills up Mary and Joseph and John and Zechariah. And therefore, Elizabeth's the only one left. So the gospel writer Luke was like, "I don't know. Let's give her some Holy Spirit too, just so everyone in the Christmas story gets some." Is that the reason? Maybe it's more than that. Maybe there's a reason that Elizabeth also has to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe the Holy Spirit does something in her that she wouldn't be able to do on her own. Maybe she is changed by the Holy Spirit. Maybe the Holy Spirit helps her to see and experience something differently. Or to put it another way, maybe the Holy Spirit grants Elizabeth clarity, that she might experience and express more. And maybe that's what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in us during this season as well. Trying to give us clarity when that's not necessarily what we would have otherwise. So we'll begin with this idea of clarity. Because it strikes me, Elizabeth is able to see some things in a new way that she wouldn't have without the Holy Spirit helping her. Really, Elizabeth's world is changed when Mary enters into her life and the Holy Spirit fills her. Suddenly, she's able to see Mary in a new way. She sees the unborn baby in a new way. She even recognizes that her own trajectory is changed because of this encounter. Because this is no longer just her relative coming for a visit. This is now someone who is blessed. And Mary's unborn child, who Elizabeth may not even know about yet, is blessed. He will be the Lord. And even Elizabeth herself is blessed because of the visit, maybe even finding a new joy inside of herself. And Elizabeth makes our point from last week after that, that Mary is blessed because she believes and is acting on what the Lord said he would accomplish. It strikes me that Elizabeth wouldn't have naturally seen the world like this without the Holy Spirit. This doesn't seem to be a supernatural encounter. It's nothing special, except it is. Elizabeth sees what's happening because she's filled with the Holy Spirit. And this makes her more aware of what's happening around her, how the Lord is at work. Otherwise, it's just company coming over. Otherwise, it's just, I don't know, it doesn't say what the relation is, but my second, third niece, Mary, it's just someone coming into town and like, "Hey, good seeing you." Except she knows that more is going on than that. It's not just that company came over. Something has changed. And this is only more amazing when you think about all the extra stuff that's going on in Elizabeth's life. During this season, the fact is she's at least 6 months pregnant at this point. Not only that, her husband can't talk anymore. So I imagine that changed things in the household. I imagine things are different now because not only is Elizabeth pregnant, but her husband can't talk because he mouthed off to an angel and they don't like it when you do that. So just, you know, word to the wise. And then after that, company comes over, and that always brings the stress level down. hey, Mary, it's great to see you. Well, I'm many months pregnant and my husband can't talk. Stay over there. Except she's filled with the Holy Spirit. And somehow she sees through all the ordinary into something extraordinary. Somehow she sees through all the mundane. And she sees Mary in a new light. She knows that something bigger is happening. Imagine that. Imagine getting more clarity in a world that's constantly confusing. Imagine being able to discern the important in a world that's constantly chaotic. Imagine being able to see through all the noise and the busyness and the ordinary in order to see God at work. I wonder what we miss because we can't see. I wonder where we are focused on simply the wrong things in our lives. I wonder if we could be granted more clarity by being filled with the Holy Spirit more. Because this clarity then changes Elizabeth. Not only does she receive this clarity, but then she starts to experience the world differently. She starts to respond differently to the world. Elizabeth sees things differently, which then causes her to act differently. And in this case, Elizabeth chooses to encourage Mary, to exhort her, to cheer her on. In other words, as we've been talking about all year long, the Holy Spirit doesn't just fill up Elizabeth for herself, but for others. That's how the Holy Spirit works. Elizabeth is given clarity, and then she responds by giving that same clarity to Mary. And I can only imagine how much Mary was blessed by this newfound clarity. Because let's look at the story for a moment from Mary's point of view. You have a crazy conversation with an angel, whatever that is, who tells you that you're going to be pregnant and you're going to have a child. And oh, by the way, that child is the Son of God. And then the angel disappears. What do you do with that? Do you dare hope that that's true? Or do you assume that you just had a really weird day? Why would you believe any of that? How do you believe any of that? Isn't it easier to just tell yourself, I must have had a bad piece of fish or drank too much wine? Isn't that an easier explanation? Except that maybe it is true. Maybe it is your hope. Maybe it will bring about the changes that you and your people have been hoping for. But of course not. It can't be true because it doesn't make any sense. You can't be pregnant. You can't give birth to a king. You're not a queen. You can't give birth to the Son of God. It doesn't make any sense. And then you go visit one of your older relatives named Elizabeth. And she seems to have this clarity about the whole thing. She seems to not just know everything already, but believes everything already. What's more, she's with you in it, meaning you're not alone, which I imagine Mary was feeling in a lot of ways. What's more, clearly something is happening in Elizabeth as well, not least of which she's also pregnant. I imagine this had a calming effect on Mary. I imagine this had a confirming effect on Mary. I imagine this had a stabilizing effect on Mary. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and granted clarity, which she then used to encourage Mary and really then to be able to share that clarity with Mary, changed Mary. Again, like last week, we see an outward direction of all the Holy Spirit's actions. Because the clarity that Elizabeth receives isn't for her, it ends up being for Mary. So the question that we're left with is, how do you get this kind of clarity? I mean, hopefully by this point in the sermon, you're starting to think that clarity may be something that would be useful. Maybe that would be something I could do with a little bit more in my life. That might help me with some of the craziness. Clarity might be able to add some more depth and direction and value to my life that sometimes doesn't feel all that deep or directionful or valuable. Of course I want more clarity. Of course I want more clarity in this world that's confusing. Of course I want to be able to see with different eyes what would actually make a difference. But the question is how? How do we add more clarity into our lives? How do we add that depth? To which we answer, of course, you have to have more of the Holy Spirit in your life, which is true and doesn't feel like a very satisfactory answer. Doesn't feel very accessible, very easy to, thanks, Pastor, I'll just go get me some more of that. I'll add that to my Christmas list, and I'm sure that'll be wonderful. How do you get that Holy Spirit in you? How do you get that clarity, especially in the midst of all the craziness? Or is the takeaway from our passage simply that the Holy Spirit adds clarity to your life if you are a relative of the mother of Jesus who's about to give birth to the Son of God? In other words, if your name is Elizabeth, you can have some more Holy Spirit in a crazy season. And for everyone else, you got to look for the Holy Spirit somewhere else in the Bible, because this is really just a specific passage about Elizabeth getting the Holy Spirit before Jesus was born. Which again seems to lack application for most of us. So again, we're left without much of an answer here as to where to get this clarity from. How do we get more Holy Spirit in our lives? But I think there's a clue in the Christmas story. And I think the clue is kind of a throwaway line from a couple weeks ago. So I want us to turn back to where we left off the story with Elizabeth and Zechariah right before last week where we talked about Mary, and then this week where we picked their story back up again. I'm going to start reading in verse 21 and see if you can find the clue. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. Just to complete the story, we found out last week in the intervening verses that Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant when the angel shows up to talk to Mary, which is what happens right before Mary then goes to visit Elizabeth. But going back to clarity, being filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm struck by that verse 24, the last verse I read. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. In other words, maybe the reason that Elizabeth could tune into the Holy Spirit, could be filled with the Holy Spirit, could be given clarity, is that she has made some space in her life. She's added in some silence in her life. She's made for a time a season of simple. Created a time and a space for seclusion. She got away from the chaos. She got away from the noise. She got away from the technology and the internet and the cell phones and the news and the TV shows and the games and the social media and the excess and the extras and the drama and the crowds and the chaos and all the rest for a season. And then shortly after that, coming out of that season, we find that she's filled with the Holy Spirit and granted clarity. I wonder if there's a connection there. I wonder if that's important. What if sometimes we have to create a little bit of space in our lives so that the Holy Spirit has some space to show up? What if sometimes we have to create a little bit of silence in our lives so that we can hear and discern what the Holy Spirit is saying? What if sometimes we have to cut out certain distractions and extras so that we can tune into what's truly important, so that we can gain clarity and depth and presence? And you'll note, she doesn't get rid of this stuff forever. And it's not that there isn't some value in those things. Of course, this looks different as well in all of our lives, depending on who you are in the season of life and your job and all the rest. But it strikes me that for a season, she gets rid of some of the extras. And shortly thereafter, she's filled with the Holy Spirit and gains this clarity in who Mary is and who Jesus will be and who even she is. I wonder what this could look like in our lives. Maybe it's just a few minutes with your phone off. Maybe it's an hour with just not as much going on. Maybe it's a day. Maybe it's something that has to happen after New Year's. But maybe creating a little bit of time and a little bit of space will add clarity and depth to our lives because it gives the Holy Spirit a place that He can enter into our lives. Because our world seems to just be getting noisier and noisier. And our lives become shallower and shallower as it does. Our world invites us to be busier and busier, and our lives just feel more stretched, more thin. Our world constantly vies for our attention, and so we've lost the ability to attend to the things that are truly important. We've lost our clarity. And maybe it's by creating a little bit of space, a little bit of time, a little bit of silence, there's a place for the Holy Spirit to speak and change us. And maybe that's how we don't end up like everyone else, where our lives feel a mile wide and an inch deep. Let's pray. Lord God, you know that this season, ironically enough, has become one of the craziest seasons for too many of us. That there's so much going on and so much to do that we absolutely lose sight of you. We absolutely lose sight of the baby in a manger. We absolutely lose sight of the interruption that that was and how that changed everything. So, Lord God, we ask that you would help us. Help us create space, create time, find a few moments somewhere. Carve them out of our schedule that we might take a breath, that we might take a short break, but that would be enough. Lord, we pray that you would enter into that space, into that time, that you would help us to reflect, that you would help us encounter you, and that you would remind us that maybe that's happening and we don't feel it and it doesn't actually happen for another month after that. And that's when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. But it's because of the silence and the seclusion and that time that we took beforehand. Lord, help us encounter you in new ways. Lord, help us value depth and clarity in a world that's become so noisy. Lord, we thank you that in the midst of the chaos that was the world 2,000 years ago, politically, economically, and so many other ways, Lord, you sent your son to be a baby. And that changed everything. Lord, we pray that you still do things like that even today in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Let's stand as we close in worship. Joyful.